In this edition of In the Trenches with Dave Lappin, brought to you by First Star Logistics, we visit with Solomon Wilcots, outstanding member of the SWAT team in the 1988 Super Bowl XXIII Cincinnati Bengal football team, and not only a great football player, but unbelievably intelligent football player, and that carried over to his post-football career into the broadcast world. Solomon Wilcots knows what he's looking at. Solomon Wilcots knows his X's and O's, and he has a lot of great things to say about this Cincinnati Bengal football team and this matchup against the Raiders in the playoffs. You're going to really like it. You're in the trenches with Dave Lappin, brought to you by First Star Logistics in our outstanding studios, as always. And a very, very special guest today knows as much football as anybody ever in the United States of America and beyond is our good friend Solomon Wilcots, who had a very distinguished career as a player in the National Football League and just an outstanding communicator, broadcaster of football to all of the fans that he imparts his knowledge to. Solly, we appreciate your time, man.
Hey, Dave, you're really gracious. I appreciate the introduction and always great to come on and talk ball with you. Always.
Yeah, I enjoy the heck out of it. I listened to you this morning on your NFL Sirius radio and man, you guys do a heck of a job. There's no doubt. But I want to kind of, you know, piggyback a lot of that kind of stuff that you had already talked about, Sol, and I appreciate your patience because you're probably going to be like, man, I just talked about this.
It's all right.
But let's talk about the Cincinnati Bengals and their young players, but their attitude is, why not us? You know, and they really don't care about the fact that the Bengals haven't won a playoff game in such a long time because that's somebody else's history. That's not their history. And they seem to be pretty laser focused. What do you think about this young football team and how they perform this year, Solly?
You know, I've kind of talked about this. I've given it a lot of thought during the course of the season as they've had sort of these hiccups, right, and games against Chicago Bears or the New York Jets. And I said, you know, they're a very young team. We know they're talented, right? And we just had to kind of sit and watch it all kind of come together. It's like pouring cement. You're still shaping it. You're still forming it. But you can see it's hardened. It's starting to take shape and form. And I think what we saw is it was right around, you know, week 11 coming off the bye, going out to play the Raiders, right? And then having some very important games against Baltimore and Pittsburgh. And I thought against the Chargers and the 49ers, maybe it gotten away from us. But I thought that win in Denver sort of solidified who this team really is, because people don't realize how good that Denver Broncos team is, how good that defense is, and how hard they are to beat in Denver. These players have a tremendous pedigree of winning, right? Where they played in college in some big time programs. Yep. You get a Joe Mixon out of Oklahoma. He was used to winning and playing at a very high level on a team that was coached by some really good coaches. Yep. You get Joe Burrow that played in a pro style system offensively at LSU, right? And playing in some big games in the SEC where it's murderer's row every single week. And Ja'Marr Chase going up against a lot of defensive backs who are currently playing in the NFL. And he was successful as a freshman and as a sophomore at LSU playing against a lot of those guys. And so when you T. Higgins playing at Clemson, being part of a national champion and playing with at a very high level in a big-time program, it goes on and on. Tyler Boyd as well at Pitt. And so it's been great to watch it all come together and to watch these guys bring their own special brand of winning, right, to the Cincinnati Bengals. And that's why I think they don't have to rely on history. Like players who play for the Dallas Cowboys, they think that star is going to go out and win them games, Dave. These right. guys don't have that luxury. They know they have to go out and do it. And by God, they're doing it. Now I'm really proud of them.
And you complement that, what you're speaking of at the college careers, and then the free agents that they picked up. DJ Reader is with a Texas team that was successful when he was with the Texans. There, he has playoff experience there. Ogunjobi was part of the Cleveland Browns team that beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs last year. Trey Hendrickson down with the Saints. Von Bell with the Saints, Woozie with the Cowboys, all these guys that came in on the defensive side of it. Offense was kind of through the draft. Defense was a lot of free agents that have experience in the NFL in terms of playoffs. How big is that, Solly?
It's really big. Trey Hendrickson was part of a Saints team that won the NFC South four straight years.
Right.
under Sean Payton and playing with Drew Brees and opposite of Cameron Jordan. He's used to playing with great guys in a successful program. Mike Hilton, who you mentioned, playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They know what winning's like. And here's the thing. They decided to come to Cincinnati and play for the Bengals. They could have went to a lot of other teams now. But number nine, Joe Burrow, is that special. You talked to all of those guys. Riley Reif, he talked about it. He went to dinner with Joe Burrow. He came back and told his agent, I'm going to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in business, we have a term for that. But what Joe Burrow is, he's what we call a force multiplier. He not only brings himself, and we know what he brings, right? Opportunity to win, but it multiplies the success like what Tom Brady did in Tampa. He went there, now Gronk comes out of retirement. All these other guys want to go play in Tampa when everybody was running away from Tampa. Now they're running toward Tampa. Everyone's running away from Cincinnati, right? And now people are coming wanting to play for the Bengals, and we have Joe Burrow to thank for that.
You know, it's amazing. Joe Burrow, two things that he accomplished, and it's a first in NFL history. The only quarterback with 400 yards or more passing, four touchdowns, no interceptions in back-to-back games. No other quarterback had ever done it. Also, the first quarterback with 400 or more yards against the same opponent two times in the same season when he lit up Baltimore for 525 and 416. Those numbers are stupid. Stupid.
And you know what really the underlying elements of that story is? It came under duress. In those games, back-to-back weeks, the defensive coordinator decided, we're going to blitz them.
Yeah.
Because you know what the book is on when you play young quarterbacks in this league? Send the entire house at them. Throw as much at them as you can. Most young quarterbacks wilt under that heat of pressure. Well, Joe Burrow is, in our PFF database, he is the highest-rated quarterback when blitz.
Right.
And those numbers are just a real byproduct of not only of how good he is, but what that intestinal fortitude is. The guy has no fear. He doesn't blink under pressure. That's why I liken him to Tom Brady more than I do any other quarterback, because when you send the heat, when you send the fire, he's at his best. Right. Yep. And I think Don Martindale, the defensive coordinator of the Ravens, I think he now has learned that. And so has the Chiefs, defensive coordinator. He's learned it, too. You don't blitz Joe Burrow.
You know, it's crazy. Some of the numbers you're talking about, back it up. You're right, Solly. I mean, his yards per attempt when he's blitzed, 10.8, leads the league. I mean, he completes 70% of his passes, top five in the league. Quarterback rating of over 122, top five in the league. And when Burrow's blitzed nine times or more, the Bengals are 7-2, and they score 32.7 points a game. When they're not, in the other games, when they're not blitzed that number of amount of times, they're 3-4, and they average 21.3 points a game. So he feasts on the blitz. And I guess that takes me to this football game, because – this coordinator, Gus Bradley, does not blitz. He's the lowest blitz rate in the league. He blitzed Joe Burrow twice in the regular season game, two times.
Smart.
And that's smart. What's going to happen again. He's going to rush four and drop seven, man.
That's right. And in that game, it's one of the few games where Burrow threw for under 200 yards in the game.
Yep.
Not a whole lot of explosive plays out of the pass game.
Yep.
And what that means is whenever you have a light box, that means you're going to have to play with greater patience.
Yep.
You're going to have to rely on the run game, and that means we get more of Joe Mixon and Samaje Perine. I think we're going to need both running backs to have a big day, just really hammering away at that Raiders defense. And as you well know, it was late in the game when the dam broke, right?
Yep.
Joe Mixon breaks off the 20-yarder. He runs in for a touchdown. And from there, the Bengals scored on four straight possessions in that fourth quarter, but it started with the run game.
You're right. In the second half, Joe Mixon has 19 carries for 97 yards. He has over 50 of them in the fourth quarter, like you described. and will that carry over? Because and you're right, that was one of the Joe Burrow's passed for under 200 yards three times this season. That was one of them. Denver was another. They're 3-0. So with Joe, it's like the thing that he's so mature and so poised. I'm not going to force it. I'm not going to try to play hero ball. I'm going to take what the defense gives me. That's rare, isn't it, for a kid that age to be able to do that?
It's extremely rare. I think it's one of the reasons why, and it was a growth factor for Patrick Mahomes this season. Here's a guy that's been to two straight Super Bowls, right? He's been to three straight AFC title games. Quickly in his career, he's had a lot of experiences in big games and big moments. But this year, you saw him struggling, right, when teams were going to force him to play small ball, be a little more patient. He found some difficulty in doing that. And so that tells you that quarterbacks with the big arms who are used to creating explosive big plays, they don't want to play checkers, right? They want to play chess. They want the big game. They don't want to play small ball. And Joe Burrow has shown when he's been forced to do it. And I thought you brought it up. The Denver Broncos game was a perfect example of that. Vic Fangio wasn't going to let them throw it over their head. We had to wait to the very last moment to get Tyler Boyd loose on what was, I thought it was a season-changing play, not just a game-changing play. It changed the course of our season and allowed us to go on and then, you know, beat Kansas City and win the division title. I thought it was a great design by Zach Taylor, but great execution by Joe Burrow.
No question. No question about it. Couldn't agree more. You know, let's talk about the flip side of it a little bit. Derek Carr. He's got as much arm talent, really, as anybody in the league, right, Solly? I mean, the guy can make every throw. What's your overall assessment of Derek Carr?
You know, I've always loved Derek Carr. You know, I wrote an article about him going into the 2020 season. You know, Derek Carr, it was in our PFF website. You can go and pull it up, but it gave all the data points about his production over the years and how it, you know, their inability to win was not because of his lack of production. You know, Jack Del Rio had that team going, I thought, on the right course. I thought when Coach John Gruden came in, I do think that he had done some things that undermined the team's ability to win. You remember he got rid of Khalil Mack. This guy's one of the best pass rushers in football. They're rare. You and I both know you don't find a lot of those.
No.
The Miles Garrett's, the TJ Watts of the world, they're so hard to find. When you get one, you don't trade them. You don't get rid. Amari Cooper. They're still looking for an Amari Cooper with the Raiders. In fact, they don't have Amari Cooper this week.
Right.
They don't. I don't think they have a receiver that could really threaten us. I know Hunter Renfrow is an underneath guy that can make some plays, but they don't have that wide receiver number one, right, that can really threaten us down the field and be prolific. And they're still searching for that guy. So they were ready to run off Derek Carr. And I remember writing the article because we said that John Gruden's most favorite receiver was his favorite quarterback was the next quarterback. He was always looking for the next guy, right?
Right.
And so I wanted to at least shed some light on who Derek Carr was and what the good things that he does. And I think you saw that over the course of this season, with all the adversity that team faced, that he was a model of leadership, right? The guy never badmouthed the team, the situation, never talked about the players he once had that he no longer has. He didn't make excuses. All he did was said, hey, you hate the sin, love the sinner. And then all he did was go to work to try to get back to winning. And they won their final four regular season games to punch a ticket into the playoffs. And here they are. So the guy's got talent, the arm talent you talked about. From the neck up, he's phenomenal. And he's got great leadership. When times get tough, Derek Carr rises. And that's why the guy is constantly on the phone. You know, his best friend is Davante Adams. They went to school together at Fresno State.
Yeah.
And, you know, Aaron Rodgers is always on the phone with him. He's always talking about him. They're from Northern California, and they have a great friendship. There's a lot of us that have a lot of respect for Derek Carr, and he's going to be a tough out on Saturday for the Bengals.
When you look at the offensive line for the Raiders, I really like Colton Miller, but the other guys, you know, I mean, I think there's some vulnerabilities in some spots. I look at the edge rush guys. I look at the H boys for the Bengals, Hendrickson and Hubbard, and of course Crosby, who leads the NFL in quarterback hits and pressures, and Ngakoue. I think that's going to be a big deal. Which defensive end duo is going to do the most damage? What do you think?
No, they're bringing a defensive line in here that commands respect.
Yeah.
In fact, it's one of the most important reasons why they're here. We talked about it. They have the lowest blitz rate of any team in the league, but yet they have a high pressure rate. So that tells you they can get pressure without having to blitz. That's a defensive coordinator's dream, right? I don't have to send more than they can block, but yet I'm still going to generate pressure with Max Crosby, as well as Yannick Ngakoue, who's a natural-born pass rusher, by the
right.
way. The guy that he gets out of bed, you know, practicing his pass rush moves, and it's just very natural for him, very quick and very productive throughout his career. You know, Darius Filion, he's a guy that's injured. He's out.
Right.
That's to the Bengals' credit because he was a train. He was wrecked shot against the Los Angeles Chargers in the season finale game that he made a huge impact, but he's going to be out. But they're going to rotate Solomon Thomas in there. They've got a couple other guys that they're going to rotate. They're good. I think we have greater depth. I like our interior guys of Larry Ogunjobi, B.J. Hill, and D.J. Reader. I like our depth on the interior better. I do believe that Hendrickson and Crosby are very close. They got the high energy. They're going to keep coming. I think on the edge, I think we're very similar. It's going to be how our offensive line, right, matches up with their group and how their offensive line matches up with our group. I think we can generate the pressure. That's what we did week 11. I think we'll get to Derek Carr. It's going to be really key. It's going to be how well we defend against the run game at Josh Jacobs when they decide to run it. You should know that the Raiders, I don't get them. I don't know how they go about team building because they got rid of their entire offensive line except Colton Miller.
Yeah.
And Rodney Hudson is one of the best centers in all of the NFL over the last 10 years. You know, he's now playing in Arizona. He helped them to rebuild an offensive line that they never had, right? And now they've got one. So I respect Rodney Hudson. Listen, I've been wanting to call Mike Mayock. He and I work together at NFL Network. But if I call him, I think I'm going to be too critical, Dave. It's like, what are you doing? I was like, you're helping everybody else build their team. And so, I'm happy that Rodney Hudson's not there and some of the other guys. A big Orlando Brown, he's went back to the Patriots. They had a great offensive line. For whatever reason, they decided to blow it up. And that's what they do over there with the Raiders. They get rid of good players and still think they can win the playoff game. But I like our chances in this.
So, Solly, the way they play defense, Gus Bradley drops 7 into coverage, mm-hmm. and you get great pressure up front. How come they only have 6 interceptions, fewest in the NFL? And then in the red zone, they give up a touchdown over 81% of the time, worst in the National Football League. Yeah. You know, and they're a 10-7 football team, and it's like some of the numbers analytically just don't jive to me. You know, it's weird.
They're not seeing it well. They're not playing the ball well. Remember, Gus Bradley had brought that system over from the Chargers. He had been with the Chargers, but originally he had been with Jacksonville. It started out with Pete Carroll in that Legion of Boom with Dan Quinn. And when he had Richard Sherman, he was a secondary coach there and defensive coordinator. They play a lot of single high, cover 3, cover 1 man. They make it all look the same. They do this press and bail technique where it turns into a cover 3 zone, but it looks like it easily could be cover 1 man because they play top-down coverage, which I love the technique because it allows the corner to have vision on the receiver as well as the combination routes that both receiver could be running, and you have vision in on the quarterback, which means you should have more interceptions.
Yeah.
But they're not seeing it well. This is their very first year running this system, I suspect. I love Gus Bradley. He's an excellent teacher. Spent a lot of time with him. I suspect that they'll continue to get better as they have over the course of the season. And year 2, year 3 in this system, that's why they brought over Casey Hayward from the Chargers. Who's been a really great player, began his career in Green Bay when they won a Super Bowl with Charles Woodson and those guys were playing. Yep. Casey Hayward is one of the top cornerbacks in our league over the last decade or so. But he continues to make play. He knows this system really well. But they'll get better. But right now, they're just not seeing it all. And I don't think they can match up with us if they have to play man-to-man coverage. I just don't see that happen.
Yeah, I think when Bradley mixes that in, I think that's when the Bengals have to pounce, man. You got to recognize you got to win your one-on-one battle. Yeah. And Joe's going to find you. So, Solly, what do you think are the big musts that have to take place? You mentioned you like the Bengals' chances in this one. Why do you like them, and what do they have to do to get it done?
We've got to really – this has got to be about Joe Mixon in the run game. We've got to hammer away. Look, if they're not blitzing, they may fake like they're going to blitz, but they're not coming. We've got to stay committed to running against a light box, even if they try to sneak a guy down in there. We've got to – because they're not blitzing the run.
Right.
Because they're not blitzing at all, right? And so right. We've got to really stay with that kind of run game, and it's like the dam going to break later like it did in that first game, week 11. The real explosive plays tend to come later when you're playing against a real disciplined defense that wants to keep everything in front, try to drop everyone in coverage. You just got to stay committed to the run game, and you've got to be able to hit some double moves. And then when we do take our shots, our protection's got to hold up. We've got to protect against Max Crosby and Yannick Ngakoue. Give our quarterback, give Joe Burrow some time, and he'll carve you up. I mean, you and I both know that he will carve up a secondary that's mediocre at best. Right, we can't allow them to get tipped balls at the line of scrimmage and turn those into turnovers. Because, you know, we intercept all tips and overthrows. So we just have to have a clean game and our pass protection operations.
So, Solly, the Raiders have always had the reputation, you know, since Daryl Monica days, back with Al Davis, the deep ball, you know, the big play, the explosive. The Raiders run a ton of double moves. They'll double move as much as anybody in the National Football League. How tough is that on a secondary?
It's really tough because you got to let the game come to you, because they're going to take shots, and they may hit a slant here or a slant there. You make the tackle on those, but you can't give them the double move big plays. Secondly, that those double moves, Trey Hendrickson is going to have something to say about that, because you and I both know the protection has to hold up a little longer. Yep. In order for those double moves to take to have some impact on you. So the best way to defend it is pressure's got to get home, right? And you have to play with great eye discipline in the backfield, your secondary. We're as healthy as we've been back there. So let's see if it pays off for us.
Yeah, it's going to be a heck of a football game. I mean, I just think I'm excited to see the turnout. The crowd is going to have to be a huge factor.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to – you got to make them feel a little bit uncomfortable. Derek Carr and Joe Burrow, I think a big deal is which quarterback, when they have to create and extend and maybe go off schedule a little bit, which one's going to make the big play and avoid the big mistake? You know, I mean, both of them are capable of making big plays, but I do think Derek Carr might be a little bit more of a risk taker than Joe. He may give the Bengals more opportunity to make a play. What do you think?
There's no doubt, because he believes in his arm.
Yeah.
And because he does, he's not surrounded by the prolific talent. I mean, his best receiver is his tight end, Darren Waller, who is exceptional, right? That guy's exceptional. We got to treat him like Travis Kelce. We got to treat him like George Kittle. I mean, we got to do a much better job, right? So we got to double him. But, you know, he's not – so he feels he has to – make more plays. He will look to leak out to his right, try to extend and buy more time for a Zay Jones or Brian Edwards and some of those guys. And those guys are, you know, Zay Jones has played better. He's got a little bit of speed to him. Yep. He's trying to buy more time for Hunter Renfrow to separate. Down in the red zone now, they're going to go double move to Hunter Renfrow. And you've got to in and out him. Knowing that one guy, he's going to shake the first guy. But that double move second guy, that's when you can steal a play. I think you can bait them into throwing interceptions because you know where they want to go with the ball. Critical third down situations and down inside the red zone. It's going to be Waller, and it's going to be Hunter Renfrow.
Solly, both of us were fortunate enough to make it to a Super Bowl. Didn't win it, but we made it there. Super Bowl 16 for me, 23 for you. I'll get you out of here on this. If you had one piece of advice – for these young Cincinnati Bengals that haven't had any playoff experience, what would it be?
Don't beat yourself. And if you look at our two Super Bowls, we had the opportunity. The game was right there, right? And I just felt like we beat ourselves, whether it was letting Jerry Rice out the gate on a second and 29, a play we knew was coming. We knew it was coming. Dick LeBeau told us it was coming. It was coming. And we collide into one another and let the guy go run it off. You know, you guys are down on the goal line. You got four opportunities to score. You got all the talent. You got all the smart. And at the end of the day, one inch, the game was there for you to have it, right? And that's what it comes down to. You know, championship moments is when that game is there to be had, you got to expect to make the play. And I don't know about you. I lived in the moment. I could see it. I could dream it. Yep. And it manifests itself. And I just wanted the opportunity. I wish I would have had the opportunity on that one play, on that one dog to dig against Jerry Rice coming across the middle. Somebody's going to have that opportunity when that opportunity presents itself. Make the play, and I say don't pull the pin on your own hand grenade. Don't beat yourself. You remember that playoff game we talked about against Pittsburgh a few years ago, Jeremy Hill fumbles.
Sure.
And then they're trying to goad the Bengals into self-destructing. When teams do that against you, Dave, they know they can't beat you.
Right.
They know they can't beat you straight up. So now they start resorting to all these tactics, right, to get you to act out of character. Because that's the only way they know they can beat you. And so that's where this team has been really good about that. But now playoff goes next level now. It's a psychological and physical battle, right? And teams will try to goad you into doing silly things to undermine your own talent. And that's what I would say to them, because that only can come with experience. But if we tell them that, if we help them to understand that it's going to happen, it's going to come, then they'll be better prepared.
I'm telling you, you're exactly right. Don't put yourself on your own schedule. The other that's team's right. good enough to beat you. Don't help them, man.
Don't help them.
That's what I'm talking about. You're right. Solly, I can't thank you enough. Man, your talent on the football field and in the broadcast world is extraordinary. Cincinnati's proud that you're part of this community, and thanks for visiting with us, my man.
I'm a proud Cincinnati Bengals. Go Bengals. We're getting ready to snap that 30-year streak of not winning in the postseason. It dies today. It dies now.
I was 38 years old. That's a long time ago, man.
Take care, Dave. All the best.
Have a great one, Solly.
At First Star Logistics, we're a very strict company that really puts the pressure on our employees. Brakes? What are those?
That's what I'm talking about, Icky. Get the body right, then the mind's right. You know,
you got to get that body right.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Become a star with a chance to earn the highest commission percentages in the industry as a freight broker agent. Check out FirstStarLogistics.com.